Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So at the early service, nobody else seemed super excited about Alice in Wonderland, but I'm curious. Did any of you as a child or even as an adult get really into Alice in Wonderland, or am I the only Alice in Wonderland fan?
I loved Alice in Wonderland.
You.
It was great.
They all, oh yeah, whatever. Yeah. But at the early service, they looked at me like I was a little crazy, but no, when I was a kid in particular, I loved Alice in Wonderland. I especially loved the fact that Alice got to go on these great adventures, right? And I wanted to be able to go on these great adventures and do all kinds of traveling. The good news is I have been able to do a bit of traveling, and it's been wonderful. The even better news is I never had to fall down a rabbit hole. Because if you remember that part of Alice in Wonderland, it was actually super scary. Like, Alice is falling down that rabbit hole, and she was really afraid. And if you watch the movie, it's actually kind of spooky. I think if I was a younger kid, I'd watch it and get afraid. I mean, I was a little spooked, but she was convinced that she was going to find everything upside down when she fell into this strange land, right? When she fell through the earth, she was destined, she thought, to come out where people would be upside down and everything would be topsy-turvy. Well, thinking about here as we are celebrating the third Sunday of Advent, thinking about the world around us, so much of it, I think, seems a bit topsy-turvy. We are nearing our way towards Christmas. We are nearing our way towards the Sunday and the celebrations where we will rejoice that God has come into the world and blessed us with God's presence. But that doesn't mean the world is perfect. I think Alice was pretty on target when it came to identifying the way that we feel when our world is turned upside down. And when you think about it, so many of our lives in small and great ways are turned topsy-turvy. So many people around the world, but some of us too, have been surprised by the loss of family members at unexpected times. So many people have been surprised by the loss of work or frustrated with the loss of meaningful work. There's uncertainty in relationships that surround us, and there's a boatload of upheaval of violence throughout our nation and throughout the world. I think about the hundreds and hundreds of children throughout our world who only know violence, who are born into war, and that's all they know. Just because Christmas is soon to be upon us does not mean that the world all of a sudden becomes perfect and magical. It's interesting to note that when Alice finally landed, she discovered that the world was actually not upside down at all, right? But it was out of proportion for her size. So if you remember, she actually had to change. She had to change size in order to fit in her world. The point being, she had to adapt. She had to change. She had to get smaller in order to enter and see this mysterious world. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and we are invited, I think, into a world of reversals. A world where captives are freed, where hungry are filled, and where the rich are sent away empty. It is certainly a world where things as we know it are turned upside down. Or at the very least, God invites us into a world, into a kingdom, if you will, where the reality of this world as we know it will be turned on its head. And from the point of view of social order, such reversals, I think, can be considered as oppositions or conflict. Opposition to the world order of things. I think just about this last couple of weeks where there are hundreds of people throughout the nation but throughout the world that are doing the kind of protest called a die-in or a lie-in. The images that we see over and over again of these hundreds of people just lying on the ground, whether it's in a library or in front of our ELCA headquarters, people are lying on the ground protesting and making a point. calling upon the world and calling upon leaders and its everyday people to demand the opposite of our reality, to demand a change in the reality and the pain and the violence of racism. From God's point of view, these disruptions, these oppositions, these topsy-turvy times can be a moment of transformation. And I think in order to appreciate the story and the strength from today's message, especially from Isaiah, I think we must remember who Isaiah was talking to. Isaiah was speaking to and proclaiming to a people who were homeless of sorts, who were stripped of their normal world surroundings. Isaiah was a prophet to a people who were in desperate need of the message of hope, desperate need for the promise of a kind of economic reversal, a turnover of their reality. Now, I don't think that God wants us to be unhappy by turning our world upside down. Instead, I think God offers us a new world, a new opportunity. It's a wonderland, if you will, to which we are invited. It's not some mad tea party gathered together by an array of strange and kind of spooky guests. Instead, it's a kingdom established in peace and established upon justice. It's a world in which we are invited where all will hear and know, but even more experience the glad tidings of salvation. It's a world in which we are invited where everyone can enjoy happiness. Happiness, as we are told by the prophet Isaiah, of a bride and a bridegroom on the day of their celebration. Or happiness that you would experience as you relish the fruits of a luxurious garden. I don't know if you caught those descriptions from Isaiah. If you haven't, go back and read this passage. These are wonderful and dramatic metaphors that Isaiah offers, not simply to be sort of poetic flights of fancy, but really to describe the kingdom of God that's upon us. And these words of Isaiah, they capture the essence of what we, I think, can experience internally within our hearts and within our souls. But in order to enter into this mysterious new world and this wonderful new kingdom that lies before us, I think a little bit like Alice, we have to undergo some kind of change. And that change or that transformation or whatever it is that you want to call it may be unnoticeable by the naked eye. And so often transformation is just that. It's hidden from the eyes of the surrounding people. Rather, God often does transformation in the heart, things that are not typically seen on the outside. Paul, in our writing from today, is conscious of the need of a heart transformation. For he prays that the God of peace will make us perfectly holy, blameless in the coming of the Lord. And in line with his thinking, the basis of the preaching of John the Baptist is also just that, and that is repentance. I don't know about you, but most often I don't feel perfectly holy, nor do I feel blameless, but that's the world into which we are invited. John the Baptist's message is very similar to what we heard just last week. Make straight the way of the Lord. Get rid of any obstacle that might deter the Lord's arrival in your life. Eliminate from your lives greed that impoverishes others, the arrogance that tries to set you above and beyond the rest, the power that makes you abusive, the selfishness that turns you in on your own concerns for you alone. Today we're reminded and aware of destructive things in our world, but also, I think, in our own lives. We suffer, I think, from the consequences of power and ego. But our faith and our scripture remind us that we have not to remain victims of these forces, that God offers something more. There's a better way of living in the world, and there's a greater kingdom than the world's reality around us. And this Sunday, this third Sunday of Advent, we're on the threshold. It's the Rejoice Sunday, so that we can remember there's something greater coming. So I wonder, are we willing to step forward? Or are we afraid to have our world turned upside down? I think Advent is my favorite season. And it's not, I think, because of the Christmas lights and the decorations or the fact that I get to wear blue. But Advent is a time where we set aside the opportunity to search our hearts, to discover where both individually and as a community we might need a heart transformation, a change in our lives, a topsy-turvy feeling in order to fully embrace and know God's kingdom. And Advent time is also a time of expectation. It's a time of gestation. It's a time of waiting. For we are told that there is one who has the power to heal our brokenness, to heal our fractured families, to heal our troubled church, to heal our bleeding world. Paul tells us that he's coming. John the Baptist, today in the gospel reading, reminds us that he's already in our midst. I think when we are able to trust in our hearts that promise of the saving power that the Christ child brings, that with God, we have the opportunity to influence and inform and transform our society, to renew the church, to work toward peace in the world. And with God, our world can be and will be turned upside down. And for that, I give thanks for this Rejoicing Sunday as we prepare the way for the one who is to come and one who is already here. Amen.